This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Matthew mauls the Caribbean. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Wednesday, October 5, glad you're with us. And here's what we have for you this hour.
Warnings and evacuations in Florida and the Carolinas as Hurricane Matthew rolls toward the East Coast. The big storm yesterday battered Haiti, the Dominican Republic, and Cuba.
Indiana Governor Mike Pence and Virginia Senator Tim Kaine met for their one and only debate last night in Virginia. There was a lot of interrupting.
A three-run walk-off home run ended the American League wildcard game between the Orioles and Blue Jays. Will the Mets and Giants provide similar drama tonight?
And how to make sure your financial advisor is buttoned up when it comes to cybersecurity.
About 80% of financial advisors say cybersecurity is big concern. This is something they're aware of, they're working on, but only about 40% of them say they really understand all the issues and risks, and about 30% say they are fully prepared to manage those risks.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com on how to vet your financial advisor on cybersecurity awareness. She's here in about 20 minutes. Hurricane Matthew is rumbling toward the East Coast after leaving its mark on Haiti and Cuba with massive rainfall and 140-mile-an-hour winds. The storm, considered the fiercest from the Caribbean in almost a decade, is blamed for a number of deaths in the Dominican Republic and neighboring Haiti. An accurate count is difficult at this point. Meanwhile, hurricane and tropical storm warnings were issued for parts of Florida, which is expecting winds of up to 70 miles an hour and 4 inches of rain. Florida Governor Rick Scott.
We can rebuild a home and we can rebuild a business, but we cannot rebuild your life.
Matthew could reach the east coast of Florida by tomorrow evening. Nikki Haley, the governor of South Carolina, declared a state of emergency and ordered the evacuation of more than a million people in the coastal communities. John Cangelosi at the National Hurricane Center.
It is difficult to say if it's going to make a direct hit on the state or pass just very near the coastline.
The tropical storm or hurricane conditions could affect parts of Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina later this week. Changing gears now, an energetic and passionate debate in the one and only meeting between the two major party vice presidential candidates. Republican Mike Pence and Democrat Tim Kaine tangled last night, with each casting the other guy as an unacceptable choice.
His tax returns that showed he went through a very difficult time, but he used the tax code just the way it's supposed to be used, and he did it brilliantly.
How do you know
he
that? You haven't seen
a runway because he's created a business that's worth billions of dollars today.
How do you know that?
Moderator Elaine Quijano from CBS News spent a lot of time trying to get the men to stop talking over each other.
In the attack in Paris that is called Paris's 9/11, as governor of the state of Indiana, I have no higher priority than the safety and security of the people of my state.
But Governor
so
Pence,
you bet I suspended that program.
But Governor Pence,
and I stand by that decision.
Mr. Pence, the governor of Indiana, did earn high marks from analysts for his cool under pressure debating style in the face of frequent interruptions by Mr. Kaine, a U.S. senator from Virginia. A CNN ORC instant poll conducted among debate viewers gave Mr. Pence a narrow victory. Still, the Wall Street Journal says it's rare for a vice presidential debate to influence the course of the race, especially given the oversized presence of the two candidates at the top of this year's tickets. Let's get some debate analysis now from Karen Brueggemann, who's covering the presidential race for National Journal. She's with us live this morning. Good morning, Karen. Give us your takeaways.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I think last night's debate is probably not going to do much to change the trajectory of the race. But for those who were watching, which was surely a much, much smaller audience than tuned in for the first presidential debate last Monday, I think it did offer a couple of things. I think particularly for Republicans, Mike Pence's performance and just his ability to introduce himself to people outside of Indiana who might not be familiar with him could reassure some likely Republican base voters who are still having reservations about Trump. Mike Pence is a much more seasoned politician. He's a much more seasoned speaker. He was a talk radio host for 10 years
That's
before
right.
he was in Congress. So you saw that. He's a good communicator. He's able to stay on message. He's unflappable, and he has much more policy expertise than Donald Trump does because he was a sitting governor. He was in Congress for 12 years. He's able to talk about foreign policy. So he, if anything, could have reassured some Republicans who still have a lot of doubts about Donald Trump. Tim Kaine had a little bit of a shakier performance relative to Hillary Clinton last week. As the clip showed, he was interrupting a lot. He was very aggressive in trying to corner Mike Pence and to get Mike Pence to defend Donald Trump, which he didn't always do.
Mm-hmm.
So even though Pence was on message and aggressive about going after Hillary Clinton and kind of prosecuting Clinton for things that people on the people that conservatives tend to hold her accountable for in a way that Trump didn't. Pence was much better at that than Trump, but Kaine tried, sometimes successfully, sometimes not, at trying to get Pence to be held accountable for things that Donald Trump has said. And Pence did defend him on some things, but he also dodged a lot of other things. He defended Trump on his tax return and the New York Times story that showed that he may not have paid taxes for up to 18 years because of a big loss that he claimed in the mid-90s, like saying that he was just doing his job as a businessman.
Yeah.
But he didn't defend all of Trump's the insults. There was a lot of talk about an insult-driven campaign.
Right.
He didn't defend every single insult that Kaine listed out that Trump had made against particular groups. And I think Pence just generally is, even if he is very conservative, he is good at speaking in a way that can sound much more inclusive and friendly and non-threatening in a way that Donald Trump just either doesn't want to do or can't do. So even though if Pence didn't agree with every single thing Trump has ever said, he tried to kind of reassure people that he will be a more grounding force on the Republican ticket.
You know, your observation about Mr. Pence not defending everything is interesting because that was part of the reason I believe Mr. Trump was criticized for the first presidential debate. He felt he had to respond to every grenade that Hillary Clinton lobbed at him, and that took away from the messaging I think he wanted to communicate.
Right, and I think ultimately Pence's strategy is, even if it's frustrating to people who find a lot of what Donald Trump has said to be really offensive or makes them unfit for the presidency, from a political standpoint, dodging those questions and just pivoting the topic that allowed Pence to go on offense and to switch over to points where he could make points against Clinton and just move away from those things. That is the smarter strategy. But Donald Trump can't let anything go. And Donald Trump doesn't really apologize for things that he said in the past. So if he's not going to pivot away from them, it puts Trump in a really tough spot where he's just going to double down on the things that he said in a way that really hurt him last week. But I think for Democrats, they felt that was very revealing of who Donald Trump was. Mike Pence is, you know, a better politician than Donald Trump is in the sense that he will pivot away from things that are unflattering or that could hurt the ticket. But he was good at that last night, and that was obviously frustrating to Tim Kaine.
Yeah.
But Tim Kaine tried to repeatedly call out Pence and Trump for the many controversies that they've encountered.
All right, Mr. Kaine definitely playing the role of attack dog for sure. Hey, Karen, thanks for a few minutes this morning. Much appreciated. Karen Brueggemann, covering the presidential race for National Journal with us live this morning. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy, and that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning. Hey, glad you could be with us on this Wednesday. Here's where the creepy clown euphoria has brought us. It's now gotten a mention during a White House press briefing, and it sent Penn State students on a clown hunt when one was rumored to be nearby. The problem has become so widespread that even the White House weighed in after a reporter noted during the daily press briefing yesterday that local law enforcement agencies are asking for assistance from the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security.
Obviously, you know, this is a situation that local law enforcement authorities take quite seriously, and they should carefully and thoroughly review perceived threats to the safety of the community.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest said he was unsure if the president had been briefed on the clown situation. Also, a group of some 500 students from Penn State University took to the streets in search for the clown that was supposedly spotted nearby. Local police said there were no clown sightings and no credible clown threats. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Kashenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Hurricane Matthew, the fiercest Caribbean storm in almost a decade, is powering towards the Bahamas and the U.S. coast after battering Haiti and Cuba. The hurricane whipped the islands with 140-mile-per-hour winds, pummeling towns, farmland, and resorts. It's not clear if the storm will directly hit the East Coast, but South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley isn't taking any chances.
We have decided that we will evacuate all coastal communities.
So far, about a dozen deaths have been blamed on the storm. Virginia Senator Tim Kaine repeatedly challenged Mike Pence during last night's vice presidential debate, attempting to tie the Indiana governor to some of Donald Trump's most controversial statements about women, immigrants, and foreign policy. But Trump's running mate maintained a soft-spoken demeanor even as he mounted an uneven defense of the billionaire.
When Donald Trump becomes president of the United States, we're going to have a stronger America. When you hear him say he wants to make America great again, when we do that, I truly do believe the American people are going to be standing taller. They're going to see that real change can happen after decades of just talking about it.
Kaine questioned Trump's relationship with Russia.
He said, inarguably, Vladimir Putin is a better leader than President Obama. Vladimir Putin's run his economy into the ground. He persecutes LGBT folks and journalists. If you don't know the difference between dictatorship and leadership, then you got to go back to a fifth grade civics class.
The debate was surprisingly contentious. Federal investigators estimate a commuter train was traveling 2 to 3 times the 10-mile-per-hour speed limit when it slammed into a New Jersey rail terminal last week. Investigators believe the train was moving between 20 and 30 miles an hour when it crashed into Hoboken Terminal, the estimate based on the extent of damage, not on data from the train's instruments. And it's a better bandage, and it was designed by a preteen. Seventh grader Anushka Nakaware is one of 50 $15,000 Google scholarship for designing a bandage that can tell doctors when it needs to be changed. The wound dressing has moisture sensors that can indicate whether a new bandage is needed. She placed in the top 8 in the international science contest.
How about that? Very cool.
Isn't it? High-tech bandage.
Man. So our future is going to be okay.
I think so.
We have kids like this.
A few.
Yeah.
A few are out there.
We need a few more.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Welcome aboard. How confident are you that your personal data is in safe hands with your financial advisor? Kelly Grant at CNBC.com has a look at how to ask the right questions of the person who manages, say, your retirement savings and other investments. Kelly, help us out.
This is kind of intimidating. We see from new data that's out from the FPA that it's about 80% of financial advisors say cybersecurity is a big concern. This is something they're aware of, they're working on, but only about 40% of them say they really understand all the issues and risks, and about 30% say they are fully prepared to manage those risks. So it's one of those quandaries for consumers. You know, you might trust your advisor to handle your money, but what about your personal and your financial data? It's something that you really should be asking some questions about.
Wow. We get any sense that, that these guys have better protection than other companies might have because it deals with real money?
Well, in terms of the risks that are out there, you know, as we've been talking to a lot of different experts on this front, they say that, you know, you of course, if you're going through a big firm, you know, they're an offshoot of one of the big banks, you know, yes, they're going to have a lot of resources dedicated to security. They're really maybe more on top of this, but they're also a bigger target for a lot of these cyber criminals that are looking for the sheer volume of data. You know, they're going to be the bigger and more interesting target there. Smaller guys, not necessarily going to be on the radar, but they're less likely to have a whole team devoted to their security and a lot of processes in place. And frankly, I mean, all these precautions, you hear about all the different types of attacks that can be out there at this point, you know, it doesn't necessarily help if you've got all these great precautions in place, but you've got an advisor who is maybe taking stuff home on an unencrypted thumb drive, or they're printing stuff out, yeah. and the office is broken into. There's a lot of different ways that people can be targeting your information.
Mm. We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Her piece is called How to Vet Your Financial Advisor's Cybersecurity Savvy. And the biggest threat here would be, say, a hack of the financial advisor's system or somebody able to guess your password when logging in.
Well, it's all sorts of things like that. It could be a hack on their system, depending on how their data is stored. That's the sort of thing you'd want to be asking about. But, you know, even as we talk to a lot of the security experts out there, they're like, you know, this is as simple as somebody getting into your email, and you happen to have emailed your financial advisor, oh, here's my social, and here's the login for, you know, my Fidelity account. It's just silly mistakes that people end up making where they're communicating very personal data, and they're doing it over email instead of sending a secure file transfer. That's where there can be a lot of problems here.
So what should we be doing or asking here?
Well, there are a lot of questions that you should be asking of any potential advisor or even your current advisor, too, including, you know, have they ever been targeted for some sort of a cyber attack? If they have, that tells you that there could be some issues there. You want to know what they've learned from it. You want to know where your data is going to be stored and who's going to have access to it.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant from CNBC.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Trips to the post office, as you know, are never convenient. So why not get postage right from your desk with Stamps.com? Stamps.com even gives you special postage discounts you can't get at the post office, including first class, priority mail, express, international, and more. You'll never pay full price for postage again. Here's how Stamps.com works. Using your own computer and printer, buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Then just hand your mail to the mailman or drop it in a mailbox. It's that easy. It's no wonder over 600,000 small businesses are already using Stamps.com. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A four-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Get started with Stamps.com today. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com and enter Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
When Donald Trump says women should be punished, or Mexicans are rapists and criminals,
I'm telling
or John
you.
McCain's not a hero, he is showing you who he is.
Senator, you whipped out that Mexican thing again. Look,
can you defend it?
Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday, October 5. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Florida and the Carolinas brace for Hurricane Matthew. Pence and Kane debate. Google introduces its Pixel smartphone. Yahoo scanned your emails at the request of the government. Dallas police say Broncos cornerback Aqib Talib pulled a Plaxico Burress, saying now he shot himself in the leg back in June. Blue Jays walk off the Orioles, and how the Patriots annoy fantasy football players. All right, to be fair, Patriots annoy everybody. That story in about 20 minutes. Hurricane Matthew is expected to reach the east coast of Florida sometime tomorrow evening. South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley wants more than a million people evacuated from coastal communities. What could a storm of this magnitude mean? We're joined now live by Cheryl Hapke, coastal geologist and director of the U.S. Geological Survey's Coastal and Marine Science Center in St. Petersburg, Florida. Good morning, Cheryl. You guys expecting any Matthew impact there on the Gulf Coast?
Good morning, Gordon. No, actually, it depends on how close the eye actually tracks to the Florida coast. Right now, they aren't even issuing any tropical storm warnings for the Tampa Bay area.
All right. So how problematic could Matthew be?
Matthew is an incredibly strong, it's a powerful storm. It's tracking very close to the coastline. Again, it's hard to tell. A slight shift to the west of the actual eye of the hurricane could change the scenario. But the USGS and the St. Petersburg Coastal Marine Science Center has a tool developed where we're able to forecast directly forecast the coastal impacts expected based on the National Weather Service's forecast of storm surge. And right now it's looking like the entire east coast of Florida up into the Carolinas is likely to undergo very severe beach erosion and, in many cases, dune overtopping.
All right. This is significant, too, because, what, it's been like 10, 11 years since a hurricane reached Florida?
Yeah, direct impact to the east coast of Florida. Of course, Hermine, a month ago, impacted the northwest coast of Florida.
Oh, right. So how about the eastern shoreline then? What about preparations? Can it handle what's coming? What's expected?
Well, what is to be expected in any areas of low-lying areas with lower dunes, there's expect some inundation. There could be flooding coastal roadways, sand washing onto roadways. And the tool that we've developed should help emergency managers and planners target the areas that are most likely to experience these impacts so that they can situate their emergency response equipment properly. But it's a significant storm, and people really need to pay attention. There's going to be extensive beach erosion.
We're speaking live this morning with Cheryl Hapke, coastal geologist and director of the U.S. Geological Survey's Coastal and Marine Science Center in St. Petersburg, Florida, talking about the approaching Hurricane Matthew. I know some of the notes said your most recent research focused on the coastal response and recovery from Hurricane Sandy along the Long Island coastline. How might Hurricane Matthew match up here? Any way to tell?
Well, you know, the different coastlines behave in different ways. The current Hurricane Matthew is right now, it's directly headed toward a portion of the South Carolina and Carolina coast that don't really have as much sand as places, for example, like Fire Island do. Fire Island has a fair amount of sand, so it was able to undergo a natural recovery pretty quickly. But the beaches along these, especially the South Carolina coast, have very little sediment. So if a little bit of sand gets stripped away from there, it could take longer for those beaches to recover.
Got it. And so what about it being 10, 11 years since a hurricane struck the east coast of Florida? Do people get complacent and kind of let their guard down when it comes to preparation?
You know, it's hard for me as a scientist to comment on that, but honestly, I do think that societally we know that happens. But hopefully with modern society and all the warnings that we can get via cell phone and tweets and Facebook, that people will listen and move out from the impacted areas.
You think that at some point Matthew could be involved in the same conversations as like a Sandy or a Katrina, maybe a Wilma?
You know, at this point, it's hard to tell. We're looking at we're just keeping an eye on the forecast. It really depends how strong it is when it makes landfall.
Is the chance it could stay out to sea?
You know, right now, the forecasting, the eye, the best forecasts are that the eye actually does remain offshore. Now, that does not mean that there's not going to be impact, because even if it stays offshore, it's going to be pushing large amounts of water, and there will be strong winds up along the coast.
Right. Hey, thanks for a few minutes, Cheryl. Nice talking to you. Cheryl Hapke, coastal geologist, also director of the U.S. Geological Survey's Coastal and Marine Science Center in St. Petersburg, Florida. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we've been lucky to have relatively steady gas prices this year, which makes this story all the more shocking. A couple in Florida couldn't believe their eyes when a nearly $10,000 charge from a gas station turned up on their credit card statement. Susan Gower said her husband filled up their car at a Valero station in Fort Myers in what is usually about a $20 transaction. The couple discovered the mistake the next day when their card was declined, and they checked their credit card statement to find a charge from the gas station totaling $9,949.36, which would have equaled 27,000 gallons of gas. Not sure what to do, the couple turned to their bank, which said they should get with Valero and have them reverse the charges. But the station's manager told her that would not be possible.
Of course. Yes, thanks for the help, buddy.
Yeah. Valero's corporate customer service department eventually did get involved, though, and managed to resolve the issue by reversing the charge. But there was like a hairy couple of weeks where they couldn't use their card at all. I guess they had to get a rental car, and they had trouble doing that because you need a credit card for damages and that kind of thing. So it was a little rough.
So this was not instantly resolved.
No, definitely not.
I mean,
sorry, there's nothing I can do.
It's not like they're disputing, like, you know, we paid $25 and we should have paid $20. Who just...
gas stations always known for their customer service, aren't they?
Well, at least Valero got it done, but I mean...
Yeah.
You'd think this would rise to somebody's, you know, top of the radar.
Pretty quickly, you would think. And now it's everywhere. And Gordon, if you're a fan of pioneering punk bands, there's some good news. The Ramones will soon have a street named after them in New York City. Soon to be called Ramones Way is in front of the main entrance of Forest Hills High School, where original members Johnny, Joey, Dee Dee, and Tommy Ramone all attended. Ramones Way is not the band's first New York City landmark. In 2003, a sign for Joey Ramone Place was put up in downtown Manhattan on the corner of Bowery and East 2nd Street. It's near the location where the punk club CBGB, where the Ramones got their start, once was.
Interesting. So I propose just like give them all of Manhattan. So it'd be Brooklyn, Queens, Staten Island, the Bronx, and the Ramones.
Yeah, and the Ramones.
Yeah, just get rid of Manhattan. just call all of Manhattan now just the Ramones. It's the new fifth borough of New York City.
Yeah, I mean, who needs Manhattan?
I know that would have a lot of support, too.
Mostly, yeah.
Yes, it would.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, it would. Thank you, Mike. 14 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at Dell.com/radio. Thanks for being with us. Good Wednesday to you. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples has low prices every day on the office items you use most, like ink and paper, even coffee and snacks, plus special deals for more savings on ink and toner. Staples, make more happen. As if diabetics didn't have enough to worry about, now Johnson & Johnson is warning patients of a security vulnerability in one of its insulin pumps. That means a hacker could exploit it to overdose diabetic patients with insulin. Medical device experts say they believe it was the first time a manufacturer had issued such a warning to patients about a cyber vulnerability. J&J executives told Reuters they knew of no examples of attempted hacking attacks on the device, which is the J&J Animas One Touch Ping insulin pump. Insulin pumps are medical devices that patients attach to their bodies that injects insulin through catheters. The Animas One Touch Ping is sold with a wireless remote control that pumps insulin so patients don't need to access the device itself, which is typically worn under clothing and can be awkward to reach. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Tim Kaine and Mike Pence both embraced the role of attack dog last night, using the only vice presidential debate to focus on reinforcing the most negative perceptions of their opponent over defending the top of their own ticket. Pence attempted to paint Hillary Clinton as symbolic of the status quo, while Kaine challenged Pence to defend bombastic statements made by Donald Trump.
When Donald Trump says women should be punished, or Mexicans are rapists and criminals,
I'm telling
or John
you.
McCain's not a hero, he is showing you who he is.
Senator, you whipped out that Mexican thing again.
Can you defend it?
Both accuse the other of running a more insulting campaign. Hurricane Matthew is racing toward the Bahamas after leaving behind widespread destruction in Haiti, and forecasters predict it could reach Florida's Atlantic coast and South Carolina later this week. John Cangelosi of the National Hurricane Center says the storm made landfall last night in Cuba.
It's weakened a little bit. Maximum winds are 125 miles an hour. That makes it a Category 3 hurricane. And that was expected as it was interacting with the higher terrain of eastern Cuba.
At least 11 deaths have been attributed to the storm. Florida and South Carolina are in the process of evacuating more than 1 million people. Police in North Carolina have released graphic camera footage of the shooting and death of a black man by officers in Charlotte last month. Justin Bamberg, a lawyer for the family of 43-year-old Keith Scott, says the video does not offer evidence supporting a police narrative that he was holding a gun.
It is very important for law enforcement to use deadly force as a last resort and not a first resort, because there is no pulling those bullets back.
A 16-minute video shows officers giving Scott medical aid as he lay unresponsive on the ground. No gun can be seen with Scott in the video. So who won the debate last night? Well, the GOP says Mike Pence won. No surprise there, except they said that 2 hours before the debate happened. It's not uncommon for staffers to prepare statements in advance, but it is unusual to accidentally publish them hours before an event starts. The statement declared that Pence's top moments were the economy and highlighting Hillary scandals.
It's quite possible they wanted to watch the Orioles and the Blue Jays. Let's just get this out now.
I just think that the top moments, I can see that they say he won, but picking out the top moments is a little bit funny.
It's like predicting the news, right? Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. How come with Tom Brady's 4-game suspension over and Rob Gronkowski back in action, the outlook for the Patriots remains the same? Questionable. The Wall Street Journal says through the first 4 weeks of the season, New England has listed nearly 8 players per week as questionable on its injury report, the most of any NFL team. The other 31 franchises, meanwhile, have designated fewer than 3 players per week as questionable. The likely reason? The Patriots are exploiting the new rules on reporting injuries. While it can be a sore spot for Patriots opponents, it causes misery for millions of fantasy football players. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy, and that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.